Okay, so let's get started. So we're continuing here in Bishul Akumen. We just started scratching the surface of Ola al Shulchan Melachim yesterday. A lot of the conversations about Ola al Shulchan Melachim are similar to the conversations about Nechol Kamo Shulchai. You know, what if it changes? Or what if it's one place versus another place? You know, a lot of those kinds of conversations. But fundamentally, we started yesterday by discussing what Shulchan Melachim even means. Right, I think in one of the Masorah journals, they quote that who was it that Chazon Ish said that the Queen of England has sardines for breakfast also, meaning when discussing whether sardines are Ola al Shulchan Melachim. So who cares that the Queen of England has sardines for breakfast? First of all, I don't think that's true. But who cares that the Queen of England has sardines for breakfast? Why would that make a difference? So if you hold Ola al Shulchan Melachim is anything a melech would eat ever, so then maybe in the chinami, the bar is very low for Ola al Shulchan Melachim. Or if it's got nothing to do with melachim, Ola al Shulchan Melachim is a melitza. It's a way of expressing a kavadik meichel, a kind of thing that you would invite somebody to your house for. Or, as we saw yesterday, this was the point of contention between Rav Israel Orbach on the one hand and Rav Falk on the other hand, that Rav Orbach holds that Ola al Shulchan Melachim means that you would serve at a wedding. And Rav Falk says, I see all these people that say it means what you would serve at a wedding. I don't know who told them that. I think Ola al Shulchan Melachim is even a madrega below that. It's what you would serve at a Shabbos meal if you're having company. We gave the example of a corn salad or maybe a chalent. I don't know. You know, it's hard to know exactly where to draw that line. But it at least, like, you know, it changes your mindset in terms of assessing whether something is Ola al Shulchan Melachim or not. So we had that brief discussion about corn yesterday. Now, what about foods that people eat, but only because it's healthy, not because it tastes good? Meaning, what would be an example of that?
Salad.
Salad is very good. Salad with a nice dressing, and you know, all the vegetables have a little bit of a different crunch and a little flavor. It depends what kind of salad you like. I would think kale. No, does anyone actually like kale? Yeah. Okay, so maybe I'm wrong. Okay. I don't know, if there are foods that people eat, you know, not only because they're healthy, but not because they're good, but because they're healthy, there is a tshuva in the Shevet HaKahasi, Chelik Vav Sim Reshayin Test, where he says that's not called Ola al Shulchan Melachim, even if they're not eaten raw, and they are Ola al Shulchan Melachim, it's not a problem of Bishul Akum. Because based on the taz that a non-Jew will invite you to his house in order to serve you such foods, as no chashash kirva, if he's not going to do that, and he wouldn't invite you to his house to serve something that tastes nasty, even if it is very healthy for you. Okay, so that's I don't know, but kale smoothies, would people invite you to their house to have a kale smoothie? Probably not.
Chia seeds.
Okay, those are gross.
All these things are gross.
Ginger. What?
Ginger,
okay, right? Meaning, okay, there are things that supposedly are healthy that people eat, and there's a big market for it in the health food market. I'm sure there are ways to make them taste good, but usually just by masking them, you know, not actually by drawing out any taste of them to allow you to appreciate the taste. Okay, now, let's have a conversation that we had with regard to Nechol Kamo Shulchai, and let's have the conversation with Ola al Shulchan Melachim. If you have food that's cooked in a place where it's Ola al Shulchan Melachim, and then it's brought to a place that it's not Ola al Shulchan Melachim, do you say that, the Chefza became Asur because it was cooked in a place that was Ola al Shulchan Melachim, so it's a Chefza Macholas Asuras now, and now the fact that I bring it to a place that it's not Ola al Shulchan Melachim, that doesn't have any impact? Or do you say, no, now it's okay, because now it wouldn't be a Chashash Korva anymore? So Rav Shturbach has a tshuva in Chelek Gimel Simin Reish Nun, where he quotes Rabbi Falk, he quotes the Mechz Eliyahu, who says that food cooked by a non-Jew in a place where the food is Ola al Shulchan Melachim is going to be asa forever. It becomes a chefza of Machalas Asuros. Once the food is prepared, the Isser, there's no way to be matir Bishal Akum after Bishal Akum is already made. However, Rav Shturbach himself disagrees. And he writes, Olenius Daiti Yeshul Tzadeid, meaning, was that food ever really a chefza machalos asuros? It was only asur for those people in that place. Meaning, if you were to ask the people in the place where it's not Ola al Shulchan Melachim, granted they don't have access to that food, but that food was always mutter to them. So if it was always mutzah to them, it's not really a din in the chefta. It never was. It never became a chefta of machalas asuros. Even meikara, it never became a chefta of machalas asuros. Because it was only usur to the people in that place. So that specific food was prepared by isur only for that location. So at the time of the cooking, it was only usur there. So it's but at the location where it's not olah shulchan malchum was mutter. So if you bring it to a place where it's not olah shulchan malchum, it should be mutter. But what about the opposite case? The food is prepared in a place where it's not olah shulchan malchum, and then it's brought to a place where it is olah shulchan malchum. So then l'chaorah it should be usur, because it was usur the whole time for those people, meaning by that same svara. And you could argue that even if you hold the other way, it would be usur in that case, because now there is a chashash korban, now there is a chashash chasus. So what they say, I don't know, poskim say this, I don't know if it's true anymore, they say that chumas is such an example. That in Eretz Yisrael, chumas is 100% olah shulchan malachim. Like you go to a chasana, there's chumas on the table. And in America, you don't find chumas on the table at a chasana. But you do find it in every Shabbos table. Ooh, that's an example of, right? I'm not for yesterday. Right? You find chumas on every Shabbos. Is it just my Shabbos table? No, it's one of the dips, right? You got six, you have to have, it's like Mitzvah D'oraisa, you have to have like five dips, right? So one of the dips is always chumas. So, so I don't know. Maybe chumas is not a little shavuot from here.
Shouldn't Rav Shterba's argument be telling like what you hold about the visitor discussion we said? So if somebody would visit that place where it is olah shulchan malachim, and it would be, they would take on the status of the b'nei aretz hazot.
So I think he's saying even not that way. Meaning, why would it have to be a visitor? Meaning, this food is not a chefta of machalas asuros. If you ask me where I am about the chumas in Eretz Yisrael,
it's not shayach because of what Rabbi said.
You don't have access to it.
And when you would have access.
No, that, what do you mean? Let's say all the best chumas in the world is made in Eretz Yisrael, so they export. So half of the chumas they make is not meant to stay in Eretz Yisrael. It's meant to be sent to, to the supermarkets in America.
Okay. That's a different style, though.
No, it's the same thing. It's being made there in a chinami, in a place where it's all al shulchan malachim. But klape mi, it was never all al shulchan malachim. The question is it the same thing as nechol kamo shulchai? Right? Would you say the same thing by Nachal Kamal Shulchai? That it's not a Chefta Machal, meaning if I'm in let's say, take the old, take sashimi, right? I'm in Japan, and I would definitely eat this, but in America, let's say, no one would eat, or in Russia, I don't know, they probably don't eat sushi in Russia. So in Russia, the salmon is not considered Nachal Kamal Shulchai. So you'd say the same svara, that klape mi, it's not, right? Is there any reason to be Mechalik between them? To say that there's a difference between the gedder of Nechol Kamo Shulchai versus Olal Shulchan Malachim.
You're saying the reason why Nechol Kamo Shulchai is because they didn't do Bishul. Maybe that's defined by the locale that did the Bishul.
What do you mean they didn't do Bishul?
Rashi says the reason why Nechol
Kamo Shulchai. Oh, meaning it's not called the Bishul.
He didn't have a shame Bishul when he did it.
Oh, so then it's going to be totally in the time of the Bishul or the person doing the Bishul. Yeah, if you were to say that. Pashas is not that way. Pashas is they didn't contribute that much. They didn't. But maybe that's the difference. No, then it would be the same, right? They didn't contribute that much to me when, yeah. So then I guess that would be the svar to be mechalik. Okay, Jed, is it? No? Okay, is rice all shulchan malachim?
Yes.
Yeah, pashtus is yes. It's a huge nafkamina for us because if you hold, because can you eat sushi? Meaning, can you have a goy make sushi? So part of making the only part that's bishul akum to making sushi is the rice. The rest is not cooked, so it's not a bishul akum problem. So rice l'chor is all shulchan malachim. You would find rice. You have rice in chasanos?
Yeah.
Yeah. You see rice in chasanos? Yeah. Okay. So normally it's inside the chicken. It's like, hey, there's no rice here. And then you open up. Oh, there's rice there. okay. So I guess it's served at chasanos as well. Okay. The big issue with olah shulchan malachim is if you have a food that can be prepared in such a way that it is olah shulchan malachim, and it can be prepared in other ways that it would never be olah shulchan malachim. And the classic example of that?
Potatoes.
Potatoes, Right? Potatoes are the big issue, because potatoes can be served mashed or baked, where it would be olal shulchan melachim. Right? Mashed potatoes are now considered, or have been at different times, considered something that a caterer is very proud to put together with a plated meal at a chasana. So olal shulchan melachim, but they can also be prepared as potato chips. Or French fries, for example. French fries, pashtos, are not olal shulchan melachim. You don't really... Who gets French fries at a wedding?
The kids.
So the adults go to the kids and serve much coming because it's delicious. But they were never, it's not a kabbalistic thing. They would never serve French fries at a wedding directly to the adults. So potatoes are a very good example of this. So Shurmach discusses this in Chelek Aleph Siman Tav Lamed Ches, and he quotes Machlokes, whether potatoes are olal shulchan melachim. He paskins that they are olal shulchan melachim. The Aruch HaShulchan, by the way, writes that potatoes are not olal shulchan melachim because it's such a low class food, but that obviously changed. Meaning, the Aruch HaShulchan obviously was dealing in a mitzias where it was not olal shulchan melachim. Rav Shurmach writes, but since potatoes are olal shulchan melachim, it doesn't make a difference how you prepare them. And even if you prepare them in a way that's not olal shulchan melachim, they're still going to be asur. Rav Falk, in his long tshuva on the topic, brings a whole list of rayas that you view each food in the way that it's being served, and you don't say, once potatoes are olal shulchan melachim, every way that they're prepared is a problem with shlachim. No, potato chips are not olal shulchan melachim. Mashed potatoes are. French fries, no. Baked potato, yes. Meaning you have to look at it in each way that it's prepared. And he brings a number of rayas which we'll get to in a moment. So essentially, also if a potato is prepared by a non-Jew in a way that is olal shulchan melachim, it's asur. In a way, it's not olal shulchan melachim, it's mutter. So most poskim, I think, are of the opinion that potato chips are not olal shulchan melachim. That potato chips, meaning like Rabbi Falk says, not like Rav Shturmbach, that you look at the way it's prepared and no one will put a potato chip olal shulchan melachim. Sometimes they'll stick a potato chip or two into the mashed potatoes just for the look of it, but it's not because they're serving potato chips. I don't think that makes it olal shulchan melachim just because they happen to stick a potato chip or two. I don't think that's because it's clearly not like the meal that they're serving you. It's clearly just to have something sticking out of the mashed potato because it looks better for presentation purposes. So that's a big shayla. So in Mechz Eliyahu Chelek Beis Siman Mem, he brings a raya from Sif Tesel here. Let's take a look at the Mechavim of Sif Tesel here. Says Mechavim Sif Tesel, in Bishlo Ovid Chavim K'machol Ben Drusai. So let's say the Ovid Chavim cooks it to the point of Machol Ben Drusai. V'gomer Yisrael, and then Yisrael finishes the cooking. Yesh Lesar, Elim Kein, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, Sheyesh Hafsim Ruv B'davar. So we should ask her, unless it's Mamakom Hefsid Meruba. So once he gets to Machol Ben Drusai, he already says that it's awesome. Food that's at Machol Ben Drusai is kind of gross. I mean, you'll eat it B'Shas HaChak if you're a bandit running away or whatever, right? But it's kind of gross. So it's L'chorah, not Olal Shulchan Melachim. If they were to serve you meat that's prepared k'machol ben drusai at a wedding, you would say, excuse me, I would never say that, I would just like suffer through it or whatever, but like most Jewish people would say, can you take this back? It's not cooked well enough. Right? So says Rav Falk, you see that it's considered olal shulchan melachim, even though it's not prepared in an edible way. Wait, so that's the raya the other way. So apparently that even though it's right, so this is the raya he tries to bring, that even though it's only nechal al deir chak, it's already bishalakum. And if you look at the Rama over there, what does the Rama say? V'yesh matir b'chol inyan. Some are matir b'chol inyan. So yeah, the Rama disagrees, but he only says that if the Jew cooks it beyond machal ben drusai, it takes away the bishalakum, because the Rama holds that there's no longer any bishal after that there will still be bishal after machal ben drusai. So apparently, even the Rama would agree that if you leave it at Machol Ben Drusai and the Jew doesn't cook it any further, it's aser. So that seems to be a raya lechora that against Rabbi Falk's time, right? Rabbi Falk brings a raya against himself. That seems to be a raya that when something is prepared, even though the food, the piece of meat, is olal shulchan melachim, but it's prepared in a way that's not olal shulchan melachim, it's still going to be aser. So he rejects the raya. He says, "Do a lie, bishul k'machol ben drusai me hasug bishul kasher yigmar bishul yeh davar olal shulchan melachim." Meaning, it's an obvious chiluk. that over here you just didn't finish. You know, you cook, it's meat that's olal shulchan malachim. You cooked it in a way that's olal shulchan malachim. You just didn't finish cooking it yet, right? So that's going to be called olal shulchan malachim. But if I'm taking potatoes and instead of mashing them, I'm cutting them into thin slices and frying them, making potato chips out of them. So that's a whole different way of cooking. What did the guy contribute if he cooked the steak to Machal Ben Drusai? He contributed something very significant. He prepared the steak in a way that sets it on a path of being an Olal Shulchan Malachim. If you're going to have something that would only be olal shulchan malachim if you bake it and then he cooks it, that's not necessarily a raya. So Rav Sturmbach in Chelek Aleph Sim Tov Lamed Ches suggests to be machmir on this issue at some point and asks things like hot dogs. Hot dogs are meat. All right, but a hot dog would never be olal shulchan malachim. Yeah, but it's meat. So meat is olal shulchan malachim. And his raya is from the Shach and Sivkat and Beis. Look at the Shach. Shach and Sivkat and Beis. Yeah, what is he talking about in Sivkat and Beis? Oh, I'm looking at something. Oh, so Kazan Yisra Hatar Aruch. Krevayim the Kurkavanu Bnei Me'ayim. Avgad, I mean, la barinish, right? It's those who eat it are subhuman. You know, it's not really something that you should be eating. V'lo avichatichur yoskabek mikol ma'avol masu mishum l'shol yichavim. It's still bishalachim. Why? How could it be olal shulchan malachim if ochlein or la barinish? Umviyah darkim moshe. Darkim moshe quotes elamai. Why? Because it's meat, and anything that's in the category of meat is olal shulchan malachim. That's a hot dog. So the Korkavayim, but they may ayim that he's talking about. What is hot? I don't know. They say if you go on YouTube and look at how they make hot dogs, you'll never eat a hot dog again. So and maybe you can tell yourself kosher hot dogs are different and it'll make you feel better. But l'chor, b'nei me'ayim, that's a hot dog. Now, Rav Falk doesn't think that's a good raya at all because he points out, lo mitam ze asu yisavater. That's not why the yisavater asked it. Mishum dulo beinan machal haroy lahagish lareich nichbad umaspik the roy lahagish lechaver shemazmin bekedel harbos reis v'yedidus. He says apparently the kork of an bnei me'ayim is something that you would serve to someone as a sign of friendship. I don't know if how do you say ochlein la barinish if that's the case. Yeah. Prichadash talks about roasted peas and says that they're olal shulchan malachim, and apparently looking at the min in normal circumstances, but when olal shulchan malachim prepared one way, then now when prepared another way, you prepare the ein olal shulchan malachim way, then maybe it would be mutter. Okay, Rabbi Falk brings three rayas though. Let's go through the rayas that he brings. Meaning again, he brought one raya against himself from Siftes and rejected that raya against himself. So let's see the rayas that he brings. Lishitaso. The Rama in a couple of places, in Taras Chatas Klal Ayin Hei Sifir Aleph, says, Kasav Barosh B'tshuva Klal Yotes. The Lo Mikri Pas, and this makes it into Shulchan Aruch, as we saw, the Lo Mikri Pas Ela Shel Chamish Mine Dagan. This is back in Kufir days we saw this. That something is only Pas if it's made of Chamish Mine Dagan. Aval Pas Kitnias. The Orez Lo Mikri Pas. Rice bread isn't bread. Vein oser, and it's not going to be oser. But then the Rama, what did the Rama add back in Kufi Beis? Imein olal shulchan malachim. Right? That if the rice bread were made in such a way that it's olal shulchan malachim, then yeah, it's not pasakum, but it's bishalakum. But if it's ain olal shulchan malachim, then it's okay. Sounds like rice bread could be prepared in a way that's olal shulchan malachim, and it's not olal shulchan malachim. And when it's prepared in a way that's not olal shulchan malachim, it's not a problem. Right, that's what the Rama seems to be telling us. So pretty clearly that even if it's and that's the locus of Eter Klal Mem Dalid, that Afilu Ein Olal Shulchan Malachim Aser Holval Al Shulchanim Derech Bishul Mishum Parparis. The Yisrael Eter clearly disagrees that even if Olal Shulchan Malachim in one format, it doesn't make it Aser in the other for in all formats. So according to the Rama. Now the Shach in Kuf Yud Beis Sif Hey says clearly the Pas Oriz V'Dochen is not Olal Shulchan Malachim, while Tavshil Shanasam Yoriz V'Dochen may be Olal Shulchan Malachim. So apparently, again, rice bread versus rice. If rice is Olal Shulchan Malachim, how could rice bread not be Olal Shulchan Malachim? Elamai, it depends how you prepare it. That could be different because it's not rice bread is not rice. Rice bread is you made it as a whole separate type of dish. Not just prepared, not just cooked differently, but other ingredients and the like. You know, when it comes to potato chips, it's just potatoes. It just happens to be fried in oil as opposed to, cooked or baked or something like that. And the final rice, Prichadish and Kofi Gimel Sifkat and Hay. Mutalech al apunim kluyim. Aval apunim v'kitniyos mevushalim im olin al-shulchum lachim yishum liftan asurim. And he clearly starts talking about beans and things like that. It says it really depends how you prepare it. So again, it depends how you prepare it. Rav Meish has a tshuva, one of the posthumous tshuvas, where he's machmir potato chips. I think the minhag ha'olam is to be making. I think the OU is making them potato chips. Wise potato chips or something like that. I don't think they require a mashkiach to be at the Wise company every day to turn on the deep fryers. I once went to a potato chip company, one of my camp Abba trips with my kids. Every night was a ball game, but we had to fill up the days, so we did things like that. Maybe it was Hers?
Hers in your Hershey car.
Okay, so we probably did that. And I don't remember seeing a mashkiach. But it was, it wasn't a kashrus tour, it was Ed?
How far do we take from thought? Like if a person has a potato that they boiled, so it's not olashul malachim, but then they just mash it up. So, sorry, they didn't boil, let's say a goy boiled it. So, at first it wasn't ola, but then you mashed it up, and now all of a sudden it would be ola. So do we say it becomes aser?
No, because yes, I would think that it's us for the whole time. Because if you boiled it, then that's how you make mashed potatoes. You first have to, you got to cook it first.
But a potato boiled that way, theoretically, it's your savior, you're having boiled potatoes.
I think that would be like the guy cooking tamachal ben drusai. Right? You would have to then cook it to do so, to change that. If you haven't cooked it, right, that would be similar to that. If the guy cooked it tamachal ben drusai, and then the Jew did no further cooking, then Kuliyam will, even the Ramah agree that that's us. I don't think that would be the case. Yoni?
Rebelsky and Chester had a mouth with this by canned tuna.
Yeah.
Is that Rebelsky's mouth
here for canned tuna? Rebelsky did not eat OU tuna fish.
Right, so is that because he thinks tuna in general is all shown from all of it?
The canned tuna has several studim lahakel that they used. We'll discuss when we get to steaming. That was one of the studim lahakel, that steaming is like ma'ushan, and maybe it's not. But one of the issues is whether it's olal shulchan malachim. I don't know about Rabbi Belsky, but I know Rabbi Shechter and Rabbi Tendler certainly disagree about that prat also. Meaning they disagree about all the pratim, about all the studim lahakel. But one of them is that, right? Is whether tuna is olal shulchan malachim or not. So you could argue canned food by definition. That's a good example. Canned food by definition is not olal shulchan malachim. Who would serve canned food, right? But tuna is tuna tartare or whatever. They have they serve tuna tartare means not cooked. Whatever they serve tuna steaks. Tuna steaks are olal shulchan malachim, l'chora. Right? They are right. It's a fancy food. Tuna prepared in a certain way.
I think Yoni's saying that you see from Rav Shechter that he doesn't accept this. How you prepare it makes a difference because tuna in a can. Right,
no, the Rav Shechter does accept that it makes a difference.
That
the Rav Belsky does not. Yeah, in the
which seems to be against Ramah, Shah, Prichadosh. No, because they're saying it depends how you prepare it.
Again, it's a question whether you have these. Right, the Raya from the Ramah seems to be a pretty strong Raya. Yeah, what do you do with that Raya from the Ramah? Meaning, this is Machlokas of contemporary Poskim, right? So, what do they do with that Ramah? Right? What did the Ramah say? That Chamesh Minei Dagon is Pas Achum, but Pas Orez is not a problem, says Ramah, unless you make it in a way that's all Shulchan Malachim. What do you do with that? It sounds like it really.
It wasn't all Shulchan Malachim at the time of the Ramah.
No, the Rambam is saying there are two ways to prepare it. There's a way to prepare it that's all Shulchan Malachim, which is going to be Aser, and the Mishum Bishul. There's a way to prepare it that's not all Shulchan Malachim, which is not Aser. So it seems pretty clear from the Rambam that it really depends how you prepare it. That's a pretty strong raya. I don't know how you would say not that way. It's very hard. Yeah, I don't know. Rav Shachter once gave me the article. I wanted to learn about tuna fish. And he said, there's an article in the Masorah Journals. Do you have the Masorah Journals? And at that time, I did not yet have the... I later raided my uncle's basement. My uncle was president of the OU for a while, so I was able... He has, like, all of them, so I was able to take all the Rav Sorim and all the Masorah Journals and everything. But before I had raided my uncle's basement, I said, with permission, I didn't, like, go steal anything. I was looking for the hidden tapes. You know, there was a whole... You guys are too, I don't know if you know, there's a whole lawsuit against my uncle that he was hiding all the rug tapes or whatever. So, but whatever, they're not there. So my aunt was like so mortified because in the New York Times article about the lawsuit, it said that the tapes were destroyed when they had an overflowed toilet in the basement. She's like, everyone has to read in the New York Times about my overflowed toilet. She's like, very, very upset about that. But, yes, I said, I don't have the Masorah Journal. So Rav Shachter said, I'll bring it in for you. So he brought it in for me the next day, and he gave me his copy of the Masorah Journal of Rabbi, with his article and Rabbi Tendler's article and his markups on Rabbi Tendler's article, which was fantastic. You know, like all of his haaros on Rabbi Tendler's article. Mostly it was like Rabbi Tendler saying, and ein lanu shum makar, you know, this. And Rav Shachter writes on the side, ayein. Yeah, kadaka, but... I think I made a copy at the time and saved it somewhere. I just don't know where I put it.
So let's say one's like on a road trip or something, and you only rely on one hefsher versus another, and there's a bag of chips with the hefsher you don't rely on. Why wouldn't you be able to rely on? Right, let's say there's.
You're assuming the only issue is Bishul Akum. The hefsher you don't rely on may not be a Bishul Akum issue. It might be. The OU's make on the Bishul Akum issue of potato chips. And you rely on the OU, I assume. No, there are other issues. Oils and what machines they use, what else they fry in that oil. They're, you know, this is Bishul Akum. You also have to worry about, you know, the kashrus of the food. There's something called a French fry machine. Familiar? Anybody? Yeah? You seen it?
It's like a fryer that you have at your house.
In your house? Yeah, it's like a I think there's like a vending machine that fries the fries for you right there, like not something you'd have in your house. Like a fryer you could have in your house, a deep fryer or something like that. Even though most people don't have deep fryers in their house, I don't think it's more of the kind of thing the guy at the pizza shop with the onion rings, you know. But in your house you don't have something. But it's like a vending machine that makes French fries. So there's a tshuva saver called Vidrashta V'Chakarta, Rabbi Grossman. And he's makil to allow for non-Jews, and he gives a few reasons. He says, that they were never goes on such a machine. Why? He says, because what's the concern? If the concern is that that's only if you have the ability to put in whatever ingredients you want. But in the vending machine, you don't have the ability to put in. It only takes certain pre-approved ingredients, and you know you can only have the potatoes and the oil, the basic ingredients. You're such a smart. He's pushing a button in a public machine, that's not called a chashash of chaslus. What's he trying to suggest? That the whole chashash of chaslus is that he's doing you such a taiva. Doing such a taiva, I can push a button myself. I mean, that's not a taiva. Someone cooks you a meal. But if it's a vending machine, you just got to push a button and then the machine does everything. So then that wouldn't be a chashash chasas. This is really breaking down chashash chasas and saying like there's no element of lo plug in Bishul Akum. I mean that you literally look at each case and say, would I get close to somebody for doing that for me? That's a big chiddush to say that there's not, to say that it's not lo plug mamish across the board. Okay, we'll get to that. But to say that there's zero element of lo plug is hard to imagine. Plus, but the real svara to be mekel is that it's French fries, and French fries maybe are not all shulchan malachim. I thought that was an interesting svara, even though I don't really agree.
Yeah. What about a coffee vending machine?
Oh, next. That's the next thing.
If we're going to say that the form of preparation makes a difference, so then French fries prepared in a machine on the street probably for sure is an all shulchan malachim. But even if French fries in general are.
Right, I mean, if the method that you prepare it, meaning maybe like if you have some sort of fancy French fries, but French fries in the machine on the street, maybe, I don't know, French fries are French fries. Do they ever taste better? I guess they do. I mean, but I don't know, the best ones are like the ones that are not a little shulchan malachim, no?
Why is there a big calling that zero element of low food? That's on the extreme of going being very little involved, just pushing a button. Why is that zero?
Yeah, because we'll see where there is a discussion of low plug or not low plug. But right, but he's saying that okay. However, wherever you draw the line, we'll see where we might discuss a low plug, but not here. I don't think over here. Meaning, I have to measure the effort that he put into the cooking every time. Do we have like that? That
it's not only that. Meaning that this type of cooking is of little effort. It's not. He could have done a lot of effort.
He's frying French fries. What do you mean that's in this type of cooking? He's frying French fries. That's how you fry any food. It just happens to be that he has a fancy machine that does it.
Right.
But he can make me the same food with a lot of effort.
This is how he does it every time.
Daisy. He could cut fries cut potatoes and spice them and put oil and deep fry them. You know, he can go through a whole pachka also. It just happens to be he spent money on the machine or whatever. He has availability of this public machine. That's you know, that makes it easy. I don't know that resonates with me. What about coffee? Can you eat coffee raw? I remember when I was on an Ask OU program, we went to a coffee place. So first of all, it was extremely disappointing to me to learn how they make flavored coffees. I thought flavored coffees are like they roast the beans with flavors in it and they flavor the beans. They take a whole bunch of beans. And then they take a bottle of flavoring, they just pour it in like a random amount. They don't even measure it. They pour it in, they shake up the beans, and they're like, oh, there's your flavored coffee, which is better than most stores. Most stores don't even do that. They just brew regular coffee, and they'll just spritz in a little flavoring afterwards, which is great for kashrus. Because if you're only concerned with kashrus is the flavoring of the coffee, so you don't have to worry really about the coffee machines. Like in Starbucks, they don't use flavored beans. They use flavorings that they spritz in afterwards. So you don't have to worry about flavored coffees in Starbucks. You do have to worry about drinks that aren't quite coffee, you know, the drinks that are made with other stuff that aren't exactly coffee, but you know, flavoring. So coffee is, so I was saying, there was this guy from Europe, I forget which country, that was with us, on the tour, and he took a bean in the coffee factory and he started chewing on it like with his front teeth, and he said, oh, these are exquisite beans. I'm like, now I could have done that also. But he really sounded like he was serious. So are coffee beans nechel kamo shulchai? So most of the time we assume that they're not nechel kamo shulchai, even though, you know, you do have like when someone brings a candy dish sometimes, you could tell how much the person cared, you know, if they selected the good candies or not, right? So sometimes it may be like chocolate-covered coffee beans or something
like
that.
Are those roasted already?
Yeah, so those are roasted, right? They're not nechel chai. And aside from that, coffee grinds are for sure not nechel chai, right? So even if it is roasted, who would eat the coffee grinds? But that's, So why are we allowed to drink coffee? So Taisus in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Aleph, says that there's no problem bishlachim by beer because beer is not all shulchan malachim, and the barley is bottled to the water. The Pri Chadash is quoted by the Gilui Marasha over here, based on Taisus' second answer, says that, meaning Taisus had two answers. That number one, it's not all shulchan malachim. Number two, it's bottled to the water. The barley is bottled to the water. So the Pri Chadash is quoted by the Gilui Marasha that you could drink coffee that's prepared by a non-Jew because the coffee is bottled to the water with regard to Bishlach. Just like it is with regard to the Bracha, right? The Bracha and coffee is Shahakal, it's not Adama, so it's bottled to the water with regard to Bishlach. What about coffee beans as a snack if you taco roast them? So it would seem that there is a problem with shalakum because beans are not batel to the water unless you say that sugar, chocolate covered beans are not all shulchan lachem, which very likely it's not. The Pesachei Teshuva in Kuf Yud Dalet Aleph points out as follows. He says, those who are making on beer, who hadin do mutter lishtos coffee? He says, tells us the two reasons that beer is not bishalakum. Either that it's in a shalakum or that it's batel. Which is the ikar reason? He said, I don't think the ikar reason is that there's that it's batel. People invite people for coffee. In fact, there are no other foods that people, that's even an expression. You know, you don't say come for pizza. You say come for lunch. But come for coffee. Yeah, people say that. Come over for coffee. So that's what the Pesachei Teshuva writes. And he quotes the Shelus Yavitz, Chelik Beis, and Kutmem Beis, Kutmem Gimel. What does the Shelus Yavitz say? So he doesn't quote all Shelus Yavitz, but it's an interesting truth if you look it up. Apparently, Rabbi Yaakov Emden was spotted in a coffee house at one point, and so someone saw Rabbi Yaakov Emden in a Starbucks, and which is a chiddush in the first place. Rabbi Yaakov Emden spent 20 years without ever leaving his home. So I guess but everyone needs a Starbucks. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden was apparently spotted in a Starbucks once, and another Rav wrote to him that someone told me they saw you in the Starbucks, but I'm sure it's not true because, as you know, it's bishlakim and it's aser to drink in a Starbucks, to drink in a coffee house. So it's davar pashut that you didn't do it. If you could just clarify that, in fact, you didn't do it, set the record straight so that people won't make the mistake of thinking that it's mutter and that you did it. So just clarify that you weren't there, and then we'll publicize that it was a big misunderstanding and Rabbi Yaakov Emden never did it. That was the shaila to Rabbi Yaakov Emden, which isn't much of a shaila. It's more of a tshuva. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that, I was there. It's true. The rumors are true. And it's mutter. But if people are going to look askance at it, I probably shouldn't have done it, which is also a chiddush. Doesn't fit Yaakov Emden's personality so much. But Yaakov Emden, if he thought something was, then it was and it should be. But in this case, he said, I probably shouldn't have done it. But he says, there's no bishlakim in coffee because the cooking is only when you're trying to improve something. This is the chiddush of Yaakov Emden adds. Cooking is, bishlakim is when you're cooking to improve the item. Not when you're trying to diminish the taste. The cooking of the bean diminishes the taste of the bean. It just weakens the bean. By having the water go through, it's weakening the coffee grinds. So maybe there's no bishul which is extracted from the bean, even though the water may have been improved by the bean, but there's no bishul on the water. And it was, meaning he doesn't look at the final product. He says, there are two products over here. There's the water and there's the bean. So the cooking of the bean is not a cooking because it was megareya, the bean. It was not mashpiach, the bean. And the cooking of the water is simply not bishalakum. It's not a significant bishul. The Adafrayim on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, after mentioning the issue of social drinking with Nachrum, which is a separate issue, right? That's why Rav Shachter holds not to go to Starbucks because he thinks that that's included in the issue of social drinking with Nachrum. It's a big chiddush. Says that there are seven reasons offered for the coffee hatter. And he says, "Ve'ena maspikim." None of them are good. "Ve'ikra tam u'shkasa prichadash." She'ena al shulchan lachem lav tibas apas. The ikra tam is what the prichadash says, that it's not al shulchan lachem. And then he says, "Really, coffee is not lav tibas apas? You always have coffee and
cake.
Who doesn't have coffee and cake? In fact, there's a whole kind of cake called coffee cake." And you know what's not in coffee cake? Coffee. Because you're supposed to have the coffee cake with the coffee. It's not that it's flavored like coffee. So when you say love is supposed to pass, love is supposed to pass above the kistin. So is that called love is supposed to pass? So that's what he writes over here, the other frame writes. That the af, it makes us, and told him about pass above the kistin, ain't a rovos in cake. Ain't a rovo osim came. But if rovo osim came, then it becomes lavis bosa pas. So to make the argument that it's not lavis bosa pas is a hard argument when in the current metzias. Rabbi Reisman said in his shiurim that he was once on a plane with Rabelsky, and Rabelsky took a coffee on the plane. So he said, hey, you know, whether to be machmir like this. Rav Reisman personally is machmir on this issue. He was surprised that he had a chumrah that Rabelsky did it, that Rabelsky took the coffee on the plane. Rabbi Reisman said that in Kiel, Kashrus, and Flatbush, when all the rabbanim got together to vote on different policies, so they were voting whether you could have coffee bishalakum. And whatever it is, four rabbanim, and it was a 3-1 vote. He lost. You know, he said, but it's not fair because the other rabbanim were all coffee drinkers, so they're all nagei b'davar. You know, like if you're not a coffee drinker, you're like, ah, big deal. You do without a coffee. If you're a coffee drinker, it's like crap. You know, like, what do you mean you do without coffee? That's not shayach to be without coffee. Okay. Cholent, we generally assume is. I know we mentioned cholent briefly. Yeah.
So would Rebbe then allow, according to this, if you go to a Starbucks kiosk with flavored coffee, would that be allowed?
Yeah, Pasha says, as long as you see the flavoring. Meaning the flavoring is in a bottle and usually has no yolk.
You
can
get it. Oh.
Yeah, meaning
you ask to see the bottle and that's
it. It almost always has no yolk, unless you get some really weird flavor. But ask to see it, just in case. If a non-Jew turns on and prepares your challah, the challah is asr, even though non-Jews don't eat challah. Meaning, you might argue it's not a shulchan malachim, because never in the White House would they serve challah. Like, there's no hechitimsa where they would be serving challah in the White House. So in the Sefer Habayis v'Kashrusa, they quote from Rav Wagner that challah is a shulchan malachim for a few reasons. First of all, he says, why don't they serve it in the White House? Says Rav Elzner Svara, they never tasted it. If they would taste it, you're kidding. Thursday nights at like 2 a.m, the hog would be like, it would for sure be served in the White House. And he says, non-Jews do eat very similar products. They call it chili. They call it whatever. It's not exactly chalent, but it's close enough. And it's served at a Shabbos table. So if it's served at a Shabbos table, it's all a shulchan malachim. In Rivos Ephraim, in Chelek Zayin, he writes that one should always try to be machmir, not eat from any food that a non-Jew made, even if it's not all a shulchan malachim, which is the practice of the Yedah Haredis. They don't give hechsher unless a Jew is involved in the preparation of the food. Regardless, because it changes too quickly, it changes too easily, so they basically rip a halacha of Shulchan Aruch. Meaning, you know, it's just too much to assess every time what is all and what is not all, and especially how quickly it can change. So there is such an approach in kashrus. You know, that's a question. Should you stand be machmir for no reason? You know, if Chazal said that it's mutter, so why would you say it's asur? But I understand that if something could change so quickly. Yeah.
When do we break down a dish and look at the individual ingredients and assess it? And when do we say panim kadosh is probably
Yeah, so that's really the in the next tip, when we talk about whether bittul, you know, whether
Rebbe was talking about sushi and we were looking at the rice and we're looking at the fish, but like chilin, all of a sudden we're saying you don't say potatoes, meat, whatever, you look at chilin. So
Right, what were we saying by sushi? Rav Shechter's Svara was that something that you would only eat with something else, and it's a tafel, then it's, right, you would not say that that's nechol kamal shulchai. You would only eat it with something else, chai, and it's a tafel. So you look at the rice as being the ikar. Is that necessarily relevant to here? Meaning, what are you gonna? Meaning that it's not like part of the cholent is nechol kamo shulchai and part of the cholent is not nechol kamo shulchai. Meaning you're saying because part is olah shulchan malachim, part is not. Beans are not olah shulchan malachim, and potatoes are, potatoes might be. Meat is. I don't know, but it's a food. It's a cholent. Meaning, what Rav Shechter is doing with sushi, meaning he's not discussing whether sushi is mutter. He's discussing whether salmon, whether you can have a fillet of salmon is mutter if it's cooked by a guy. He says, so is salmon considered nechel kamo shul chai? So in what context would I ever eat salmon chai? Well, I would only eat a chai as a tafel to another food together with another food. But in a chinami, when I look at what bracha to make, it's one food. Right? You don't rip it apart. You don't treat it like two foods. Is there a third criteria of lafis basapas? Is that really a thing? Meaning, it sounds like that. Lashon lafis basapas, which is Lashon Rambam, Shulchan Aruch says, right? The gamma ol shulchan lachim lafis basapas ol parperes shabish laakam afilu b'kli Yisrael b'Yisrael asum shabish laakam. Now it's interesting. Lafis basapas sounds like there is a criteria of lafis basapas, but it says ol parperes. Parperes makes it sound like it doesn't have to be eaten with bread. So we mentioned, the Avraham mentions this as the primary hetter of coffee, that it's not the lafis basapas, even though l'maisa may not be true about coffee. So the Prichadash writes that only a main dish or something that was served with the main dish is subject to bishlakum, because that's called lafis basapas, and that's the opinion, that was the opinion of Rav Hankin as well. And Rav Hankin therefore held that bishlakum only applies. Rav Henkin Zichrono Livracha, the original, that bishlakum only applies to meat, fish, and eggs, because that's the only thing that's a main dish. Everything else is not a main dish. That's quite a kula. Problem is, it's against the mechaber. You know, that's what makes it quite a kula. Right? Mechaber says explicitly all the parperas. So meat, fish, and eggs. I mean, that's a shvei. Yeah, the Ephraim does seem to agree with it, and Rav Akiva seems to agree with it also. The Gra, sorry, I don't have the Sukkotan. The Gra brings a raya somewhere here about from the, I mentioned yesterday at the end of Shir from the grasshoppers, that the Gemara talks about if you light a swamp on fire just because you're an arsonist and it happens to cook some grasshoppers, or you're clearing the brush or whatever, you know, and it happens to be there are some grasshoppers in the swamp that get toasted because you lit the whole swamp on fire. So the Gemara says that that's not fish lakum, because you didn't have kavamah to be mvashel. Hamashma, that if you take grasshoppers and you cook them, that is fish lakum. Right? If you had kavamah to be mvashel grasshoppers, says the Grav. Who eats grasshoppers as a main dish? Grasshoppers are obviously only dessert. And you see that they're subject to fish lakum. So I wouldn't even know how to like start that sentence. who eats grasshoppers? But apparently, those who are into grasshoppers, it's apparently more of a dessert food. It's not lafis basapas. So that's a question. Whether lafis basapas is significant as its own criteria. It sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch, not. Because once he adds the words, olu parperes, which I don't think is the wording of the Rambam, I think the Mechaber is adding that, then it changes the whole mashmaos. So you see how like the Mechaber tries to use the Lashon Rambam as much as possible, even when he disagrees with the Rambam. So you throw in all the parperes and it changes the whole tone of the conversation. Okay, Sif Beis. Either if davar nechel kamo shel chayim, davar shein nechel kamo shel chayim. Here we get ikra and tafel. Right, you have a mixture of two things. Some it's nechel chayim, some it's not nechel kamo shel chayim. Ubishlam of l'chavim. Ima ikra mi davar sheish v'mishum shel l'chavim, asur v'imlav motur. It all depends on what the ikr is. If the non-Jew cooked foods together that are eaten raw, foods that are not eaten raw, you follow the ikr. The ikr is eaten raw, all the food is mutter. So the Aruch HaShulchan explains that ikr is usually determined by the bracha that you would say on the food. And we'll see, he has a little bit of a knetch on that soon. But if flour is added to a mixture of food, which is eaten raw, in order to fuse the different ingredients together, so the flour is the tafel. And you're like, what would you have? Like breadcrumbs in the gefilte fish. Sometimes people make their own gefilte fish. They'll put flour or breadcrumbs to hold it together. So if it's only a binder and it's not really there to add tam or to add anything other than just binding it together, then it would not be a mezonos. And mela, it's not the ikr. It becomes the tafel. Or like a falafel ball or something, where they might have, as a binder, they might have something like a breadcrumb. So the bracha is shahako. There's no bishlakum. If it's cooked by non-Jew, there's no bishlakum. Daki Tshuva just adds vafilu chadchila mutala arva mulvatlan vein kamishon bitulis chadchila. So, but is it going to be bitulis chadchila? They take something that's nechul kamo shulchai, mix it with something that's nechul kamo shulchai, and be mevatlan? No, it's not called bitulis chadchila. The food is assessed based on the whole food. Once you put the whole food together, And if the whole food is eating nechol kmo shulchai, then it's the whole food is nechol kmo shulchai. Then it's nechol kmo shulchai. It's not a problem about mesilcha chila. It sounds like, though, from the Darkei Tshuva, that let's say I have something that's nechol chai that was cooked by a non-Jew, and something that's eino nechol, or let's say I have something that's nechol chai cooked raw, whatever, and I have something that's eino nechol chai that was cooked by a non-Jew. So something eino nechol chai cooked by a non-Jew, which means it's bishalakum, it's asir. Can I now take it and put it together with that which is not for Moshe Chai and let it become batel? I mean, that would be the example of batel. Is not when I take raw fish and raw flour and mix it together and then cook it. Right? That's not that. Or fish is a bad example because fish is not for Moshe Chai. But that's not an example of bishalakum, because obviously you're only going to look at what it is when you're cooking it. Let's say I take something that's already asur mishum bishalakum and then I'm mevatel it. So it sounds from Darkei Tshuva, you're even allowed to do that, and that's not called in Mevat Nesil Chachila. I don't know when that would come up. Right? When would that come up? They would take something that's already Bishalakum and then mix it with something else and make it Batel? I don't know. Not Batel, it doesn't have to be Batel, Tafel. Right? Once it becomes a Tafel, then it's not the definition of the food anymore. Right? Then the food is defined by the Ikra, not by the Tafel. Right?
Sushi, no?
What?
If you have the rice cooked in
If you're assuming that the rice is the tafel.
No, if you assume that the sushi
If you assume
is
the rice is the ikur, then it's going to be bishlach.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There are those that assume the rice is the tafel. Right? It's a major machlok supposed to be a bracha to say on sushi. I wrote about this in my second sefer, about the bracha on sushi. But there are poskim that hold that the rice is the tafel, because the rice is the constant in each food. What makes sushi special is what's inside of it. Right, so there are those that suggest that. Someone told me, a friend of mine told me he wants to go to Nissan Krelitz to ask him what bracha to make him sushi. And he brought pictures and everything. And he said, Nissan Krelitz just couldn't wrap his mind around it. And he just couldn't shtel to sushi. So they asked on the way out. The Rebbetzin was there, and they asked the Rebbetzin on the way out. They figured, might as well try. And she said, "Oh, you raise your mind, you should wash him, and wash and have hamotzi in the kishkoi." Then the Rama says you could buy roasted peas and chickpeas from a non-Jew if the oil is kosher, because they're not all shulchan malachim. The shach has it, nuts cooked by a non-Jew are also matzah, because they're not all shulchan malachim. That's shach gimel, sivkot and gimel. Liknos said gozim shleimim shem vashem ol bichav. Right, that comes out, assuming that it's kosher. Let's say roasted peanuts, at a ball game or something. So if they're using nothing, they're just roasting and salting, and you see them doing it in front of you. Is there a reason to ask it? So it's not all shulchan malachim. That would be mutter. It would make me nervous anyway, because you never know. Maybe the guy who's doing the roasted peanuts has his lunch and he wants to heat it up, and might as well just heat it up the thing that's roasting his peanuts. And it always makes me nervous when you're dealing with heat. Lemonade less so, it makes me a little less nervous. Obviously when you deal with davar charif, okay, but roasted peanuts, pashtus is, it's not like the end of the world if somebody eats roasted peanuts at a ball game, if you see whatever they're using, you see the ingredients are kosher ingredients. There aren't really any ingredients, I don't think. Do they use oils when they roast peanuts? That would be fried peanuts, right? I don't think they use, anyone ever see it? Anyone know?
Unless the candied ones.
What?
The candied ones.
The candied ones are a problem, that would obviously be a problem. Now, maybe we'll stop there. Meaning, we're up to Sif Gimel. So, Sif Gimel is also about a tarovis of sorts, and then we're going to start getting into the non-Jewish health in the house. That's Sif Dalit and on. So, that will be later. Okay, so I assume, I'm guessing, I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing Wednesday, Thursday will still be in Bishalakum. I'm not sure about beyond that, but probably Wednesday, Thursday will still be in Bishalakum. I'm not yet sure if I can give Shir Sunday this week. I have a renewal event in the Five Towns that I have to speak at. I hold it's Pikuach Nefesh, so yeah. I normally would have missed year for like some fundraising or whatever, but this is not fundraising, it's life raising, so I have to speak of that, but maybe on Zoom. Well, stay tuned for details, depending on the time. I don't even know when the event is. I'll have to see what the timing is and figure it out. Okay?